Okay, so Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav, the Mishnah says, Misha Yabesa Samach Avodah Zarah, someone whose house was close to an Avodah Zarah, someone whose house was adjacent to an Avodah Zarah. What does this mean? The simple understanding of the Mishnah is that you have a person, a Jew, who builds a house. He builds a four-walled house, and he builds it right up flush with the property line, so that one of the walls is exactly flush with the property line. Now a guy is going to be moving into the lot next door, and he's going to be building his own house, and he figures, why should I bother spending money on all four walls of my house? I'll pay for three walls, and I'll build it right up against the Jew's house, so that that fourth wall that's right up flush with the property line can serve as one of the walls for the guy's house. So now we have a problem, because the guy is using his house for Avodah Zarah. Maybe he's even worshipping the house itself. So says the Mishnah, Misha Yabesu Samach Avodah Zarah, someone whose house was close to the Avodah Zarah, was adjacent to the house of Avodah Zarah worship, v'nafal, and it fell down. So says the Mishnah, asher livnoso, it's prohibited to build it up. In other words, it's prohibited to rebuild the wall, to rebuild that house. Why is that? Why is it asher for the Jew to rebuild his house where it is, exactly where it was before? Because he's going to be building up that wall, again, that's going to be flush with the property line, which means that he's going to be building a wall that's going to be used for an Avodah Zarah house. So says the Mishnah, so ketzed yaaseh. So literally that would mean, how should he do? In other words, what should he do practically? So says the Mishnah, konis b'soch shalo arba amos, he should enter into his own four amos, ubona, and he builds. In other words, what the Mishnah is saying is that you can't rebuild the wall, that house, exactly where it was before. But so what you do is, you have to distance yourself from the property line. So you move away from the property line, you move into, towards the center part of your property, four amos, at least four amos away from the property line. So let's say that's around 6 to 8 feet away from the property line, and then you can rebuild your house, because then there's no problem of you building a wall that's going to be used for Avodah Zarah. So says the Mishnah, Hayishal Ovashal Avodah Zarah. Now, if it was his and the Avodah Zarah's, in other words, if the Jew and the guy from the get-go, they are shutfin, they are partners, and they agree that, you know what, it'll be a lot cheaper if when we build our houses, we divide that fourth wall that's going to serve as a fourth wall for my house, and it's going to serve as a fourth wall for your house. So now, if that's the case, though, then it's going to play out a little bit differently than in the previous case, because in this case, it means that if you have shutfin, if you have partners that are building this fourth wall, and this wall is going to serve as the point of attachment for their two houses, so it's going to divide between their two houses, where are you going to put that wall? You're not going to put it where it's all entirely on the Jew's property or entirely on the guy's property. You're going to put it exactly on the center of the property line, so that let's say you have a wall that's two amos thick. So where do you put it? You put it so that one amma's worth of the thickness of the wall is going to be on the guy's half of the property, and one half of the wall's thickness is going to be on the Jew's property. Which would mean, now, that's what they did from the get-go, and then it turns out the guy is using his house for Avodah Zarah. So what do you do? So it says the Mishnah, Nidon Mechza Mechza, it would be judged half on half. That's literally what that would mean. In other words, it's half and half. That because if the wall, you know, tumbles down, so that means that you have all the scraps that are left from this wall. Well, you're not going to throw that out. So they're going to be splitting up that wall, right? That's really what that would mean. All the things that were used to build the wall, the components of the wall, the stones, the mortar, etc., it has a value. So that would in strictly speaking, when it comes to the rules of shutfin and partners, so they would have to split it up 50-50. But more importantly for our Mishnah is that where is the wall? The wall is exactly on top of the property line, so that half the wall is in the guy's property and half the wall is on the Jew's property, which means that if we're telling you now to distance four amos, where are we telling you to distance four amos from? We're telling you to distance four amos from the property line. So that if in this case then, how many amos are you going to be distancing yourself from, let's say, where the edge of the wall was on the Jew side of the property? So it's only going to be three amos away from the edge of the wall on the Jew side, or a total of four from the center, right? Because if our wall is two amos thick, so that means one amma's worth of the thickness of the wall is exactly is occupying the space of the on the Jew's property. So four amos are going to start from the property line, or you would say three amos start from the edge of the thickness of the wall that's on the Jew's side of the property. Okay, now says the Mishnah. Here's an interesting halacha. Avanav Eitzav Va'afaro. So literally, that would mean his stones, his, you know, his wood or his mortar. It's talking about the walls' stones or the walls', you know, wood or the walls' mortar. Metamin kasharetz. They are metame. They transmit tuma like a sharetz. Now, what does this mean? So first of all, a sharetz is literally that would mean a creepy crawler, right? An animal that creeps along on the ground. So what is that? So we know that the Torah tells us that there are eight shratzim that are metame, what's called tumas sharetz, that they can transmit the tuma of tumas sharetz. What are these? So there's a big discussion in Rishonim. What exactly are they? The Torah tells us, you know, the words of the eight, but we don't know. We have to identify which creatures the Torah is referring to. So let's say, according to some, it's like some sort of a mouse, some sort of a lizard, some sort of a hedgehog. So those animals, when they die, they can transmit what's called tuma sharetz. Now, anytime that we're talking about tuma and shas, we have to know what's the source of the tuma. So in this case, the source of the tuma is the sharetz, right? Is the creepy crawler. Sometimes it might be a corpse, it might be a metzora, it might be a nida, it might be a zav, different kinds of things that generate tuma. But we also have to know the thing that it's transmitting tuma to. Are we talking about that it has the ability to transmit tuma to people? Is it transmitting tuma to kalim, to utensils, to food? Is that food chulin? Is it regular run-of-the-mill food that everyone can eat? Is it truma, you know, food that's specifically to be eaten by kohanim? Is it kachim? You know, so we have to talk about what the tuma is being transmitted to, and we have to discuss how is the tuma being transmitted. In other words, we say they can transmit tuma. Well, how did that happen? Did it come into direct contact with something? Was it lifted? Was it carried? You know, so what happened here? So what we're saying is that what's unique about tuma sharetz is that a sharetz, a creepy crawler animal, has the ability to transmit tuma to people and to kill them, which is a very stringent form of tuma. Only the most stringent forms of tuma can contaminate people or utensils. So what we're saying is that Avodah Zarah has a status of tuma sharetz. The Avodah Zarah, Chazal goes with this. It's not a din d'oraisa. It's not something that you find in the Torah. Chazal came along and they set up a geder, so to speak, of some sort of a gezerah, that they, you know, maybe puts up a fence between people and Avodah Zarah, keeps people away. And they said that Avodah Zarah is metame, can transmit tuma like tuma sharetz. And what that would mean is that the same way that a sharetz can transmit tuma to people or to kelim, Avodah Zarah can transmit tuma to people or to kelim. So that's what it can be metame. Well, how is it metame? Well, a sharetz can be metame only through tumas maga. Only if you come into direct contact with a sharetz, with one of these creepy crawler animals when they died, that's the only way that it can transmit tuma. So if you lift it up, let's say there was a dead, one of these dead shrats, and let's say it's the mouse, some sort of a mouse that was lying on the street and was dead, and you picked it up using your shovel, would you become tummy? The answer is no, because even though tumas masa, lifting up the item that's tummy, can generate tuma for certain kinds of things, but not for a sharetz. And so similarly for an Avodah Zarah, if you picked it up, even without coming to direct contact with it, you would not become tame. If you touched it, you would become tame rabbinically, on the level of the Rabbanim. Okay, now, so that is the tuma of the Avodah Zarah. So that's what we're saying. Avanav Eitzav Afaro, the stones, its wood, its mortar. In other words, all the components of this wall that's being used by the this Ovid Avodah Zarah, as Avodah Zarah, so the wall itself is able to transmit tuma like a sharetz. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, shaketz to shaktenu. Now that pasuk is talking about that the Torah says you should be totally, it should be totally abominable to you. The Avodah Zarah should be totally disgusted by you. And so what Chazal learn is that they use this pasuk to bolster their gezerah to say, or the Mishnah is using this pasuk to bolster this gezerah to say that, so the Torah is telling you that you have to detest Avodah Zarah. And we know that shaketz, we learn, is very, very associated, it's very similar with a sheretz. You know, in the Torah, the words are associated with each other, and so therefore we learn that the tuma of Avodah Zarah is supposed to be mimicked after. It's supposed to mimic the tuma of the sharetz. Okay, now Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, actually no, the tuma of Avodah Zarah, the Chazal or Gozer on Avodah Zarah, that's kanida. That's like a nida. What's a nida? So we've talked about this in the past, but I won't go into the whole thing right now. But a nida is when we say that when a woman It's when a woman goes through her period, and so her body releases blood, and this is perfectly physiologically healthy. So once blood is released from her body as part of her period, so that blood makes her tummy. She is now a nida, and she can be a nida over the course of for a period of 7 days is possible. When she stops seeing blood, then she can go to the mikvah. Now, what happens is that once she becomes a nida, what's most relevant for nowadays is that she is tummy and she's not allowed to be together with her husband. In those days, when the world of Tumah was relevant, so it wasn't only that a woman was not allowed to be together with her husband, it was also that she was Tumah and she could transmit Tumah. She could transmit very stringent Tumah. If she would touch things, if she would lift things, very, very stringent Tumah. So what Rabbi Akiva is saying is that no, Chazal goes there, that the Tumah and Avodah Zarah should not be just like a Sheretz's Tumah, it should be like a Nida's Tumah. And so we know that a Nida is able to transmit Tumah not only through direct contact, not only through Maga, but even if someone were carrying her, if someone were lifting her without coming into contact with her. Let's say you were just carrying her you were carrying her in a box. It wouldn't make a difference. She wasn't. She is able to transmit Tumah to the person carrying her. Okay. So now, wait a second though. So then, where do we get this from? So Rabbi Akiva Shneimer, as the pasuk says, Tizreim kimodava say Tumah lo. Tizreim kimodava is saying you should scatter them out. Like a kimo dava, like a dava. What's a dava? And dava is another word for anida. You should scatter them like anida. Say, go out, tomalo. You should say to him. So these are the psukim talking about Avodah Zarah in Yeshaya. And the pasuk is saying, you should scatter them afar away, like anida. In other words, like the distance that a husband has to keep away from his wife when she is anida. He has to, in other words, you have to keep away from this. Say, tomalo, go out, you should say to it. In other words, what Akiva is saying is that this pasuk serves as kind of like a hint for the idea that Chazal goes there, that the Tumah and Avodah Zarah should be like a Nida, and therefore it's not just through Tumas Maga, it's also through Tumas Masa. So Ma Nida, Metamba Masa, just as a Nida is able to transmit Tumah through Masa, through being lifted, not that she is lifting, that she is being lifted, so the person lifting her up, even without touching her directly, the person becomes Tumah. Av Avodah Zarah mitamba b'masa. So to Avodah Zarah is able to transmit Tumah through Tumas Masa. Okay, so what do we say in this Mishnah? So for starters, what we said is that if you build a house and that one of the walls of your house is serving as one of the walls for the Avodah Zarah house, the wall itself, if the house comes tumbling down, you're not allowed to rebuild that house the same way that it was before because you'd be rebuilding the Avodah Zarah house. So what you do is you have to distance yourself from the property line. In a similar vein, how much you distance yourself, you distance yourself 4 amos away, and so therefore, if you built up the wall b'shutfis with a partnership with the guy, so then you're gonna have to distance yourself 4 amos from the property line or whatever the amount is from the edge of the wall. Now, what we talk about is that the components of the wall, the stones, the mortar, the wood, those are all considered to be avodah zarah for this mishnah, and we're saying that there's a discussion, there's a machlokas in the Tanaim, what level Tumah the wall has. Because we know that Chazal Rogozer, Chazal decreed that Avodah Zarah should become Tumah, it should be able to transmit Tumah. So the question is, to what extent? So the first opinion of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, is of the opinion that Chazal Rogozer, that the Tumah of Avodah Zarah has the status of Tumas Sharetz. It can be Metame, people, or Kalim, through Tumas Maga, direct contact, touching, not through mass and not through being lifted up. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says, no, Chazal goes to be like a nida, like a woman who is going through her menstrual cycle and she's having her period now. She's releasing blood. She is Tameh, and so she's able to be Tameh even through Tumas Masa by being lifted up, not just Maga, not just being touched, but even through being lifted up. And so similarly, Chazal goes that Avodah Zarah should be Tameh through Tumas Masa. Okay.